Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Our co-host today for early National Signing Day is Jace Lejeune, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine and LAFootballMagazine.com. We're going to have a recruiting day show. I mean, it's early signing day, so you got to talk about recruiting.
It's a holiday for football fans, Lee.
Yeah, you know, Jace, I got into recruiting in 1976. I was a little bitty. Now, my dad was into recruiting, so he would have recruiting lists, and I would just, you know, look at what he got through looking at, and I'd be like, well, what is this? Oh, these are guys ranked all over the country and blah, blah, blah. And, I just got addicted to what my dad liked. And he was a coach like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know a lot. You know, I just followed it and got emotional. And then you get in the business. I got into business in 91. And you start to learn how this recruiting works. And there's different types of fans for this. There's fans that have no clue about who's signing. They just, it's like a party today. And that's
right.
Great.
Right.
And then there's a set of guys that get maybe too emotionally invested in this.
They follow this from the very beginning.
And they still don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. There's two group of fans, Lee, with this, as far as like recruiting goes. One set of fans is like, okay, give me, you don't follow it all year long. And say, okay, what's the overall scope today? And then there's the other set of fans that follow it from the very beginning to now, like you and I.
But behind the scenes, we know a lot of the kids and families. And the show today is a buffer. It's just to help people not go panic mode, because this is early signing day. There's another signing day.
Yeah.
And people take this signing day like it's the only one.
No.
And they start freaking out, like, oh, we didn't get a receiver. Look, this is an early signing day for, and let me just explain this. This is mostly for your top 250 guys in the country, if they want to sign or not.
Right.
Meaning if they don't sign, they know they've got 10, 20, 30, 40 offers to sign February 3rd.
Right.
Then there's another 10,000 kids in the country. Think of that. There's another 10,000 kids that are just going to sign in the second signing period, or most of those, get this, Jace, most of those, and I think you've learned with us doing these highlight tapes, there's still going to be about 30% of the kids sign after February, like March, April, May.
Right.
That's a D3, D2 schools, junior colleges, prep schools. So if you really look at this, and I'm not trying to be like I told you so, I'm just trying to educate people that don't follow recruiting or people that do just for today. It's not D-Day. It's not the end of the world. And just want, I want people to understand that there's a transition with a new coach. And this, we're going to talk mostly LSU today.
Right.
Coach Kelly doesn't have to panic today.
You're not going to sign all 25 guys in one day.
No. And just understand, there are some people out there that panic because they're too invested into this, okay? And I get it, man. I love recruiting myself. I've been in it for 30 years. But keep the guys in state that wanted to come. You're going to lose one or two because of the transition. Unfortunately, we'll talk about that later in the show. Those two guys, probably one might shock us and sign with LSU. But you try and maybe pick up a nugget or two in the early, and then you're working on your grad transfers for the second signing period, and you're working on guys to not sign early. So what Kelly and them are doing, let me just kind of throw this out. They're working on kids, telling kids, don't sign early. Visit our campus in the next 3 weeks before the second signing period.
And wait to see what guys will bring on staff.
Yeah, right. So they're selling that to a lot of guys that do like LSU, out of state and in state. And it's not just LSU selling it. It's the Florida new coach, Napier, right? Because he hasn't had but one visit weekend for his school.
Right, there are a lot of new coaches.
Yeah.
USC,
Colorado,
I mean,
State.
Right.
You know, I mean, just, you know, Washington's going to have a new coach.
Right, Virginia Tech has a new coach. I mean, it's a lot of new coaching changes,
big time,
especially.
And so they're all telling kids, I'm talking about the national top 300 guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to sign today.
You can wait until the later sign period and see what you think about the new staff.
And so the good thing for LSU, and I really think this is super important, is that, and I want people to think of this, especially people that aren't as invested in the recruiting. Not everybody's signing today. And a lot of big-time players are going to wait, because let's say five of their favorite schools are all five new coaching staffs. They're like, whoa, timeout. We're going to wait, and we get three visit weekends to pick one, two, three schools. So basically they can visit three schools before, or maybe four schools before February 3rd, Jason. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into recruiting, and we're going to break down the whole LSU possibilities and the staff, how that plays into this recruiting, and the transfer portal, how that's going to play into finishing everything out, because they pick up seven graduate transfers, a one-time rule by the NCAA where you can sign 25 players and pick up seven portal guys if you lost seven between spring and fall.
Which LSU has.
Which LSU has. So LSU can sign 31 players. It's going to be okay. Today might be 10, 12, 13 kids,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, you're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Our co-host today is Jace LeSherrin. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkine. Jace LeSherrin's in today. We're talking recruiting because they need to change the name. Instead of early signing day, they ought to call it
signing day part one.
Signing day part two. One, or if you feel like signing early.
Right.
If you're a national recruit. And look, let me mention before we get into this segment, we're going to talk about the possibilities today. And I'm just going to go with in-state because those are the guys I know. I know are talking to their families. Jace is talking to families. We're not going to try and, like, guesstimate out-of-state guys, even though we'll throw some guys out. But just I want to mention this to parents before we go into this. 90%, Jace, of the kids in Louisiana will not sign today. That's pretty freaky. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea. So if you're a kid out there and you made all-state or you're – a D1 player. There's going to be a lot of kids D1 not signed today.
That's why there's two sign days, because it gives the kids an option. They won't sign early. They give them that option to sign early. You won't sign late. You can sign late too.
Or gives a college a chance to give that first offer to kid D1 a month from now when he has a better idea what they need. Because today is about need. They want to secure needs. And then if they don't get their needs, they're going to go to the portal. And so let's talk about the portal this segment. We'll talk about what else you'll probably get next segment. But the portal, let's say LSU gets 12 kids today. Let's say they hit a home run and sign everybody that is committed, counting Landon Abietta from Mandeville
receiver. Which we heard that he's committed to LSU.
Yeah.
He flipped his commitment from Miami to LSU the other day.
He's a great slot receiver. I mean, and I look, LSU – you know, Boutte's the only slot receiver they have that's a go-to guy, I think, right now. I think Malik Nabers can be. But Abietta's a, like, punch-in right now, slot receiver, great hands, playmaker, and punt returner. So great, great pickup for LSU. Was going to Miami Hurricanes. It's been many years since LSU signed a player to Mandeville.
Yeah.
Long time.
Right.
But – so that's a great addition. That's a punt returner, a slot receiver with great hands, playmaker, like a Sammy Martin with size.
Yeah, Hutch Gonzalez, who also played receiver back in his day, he raved about Landon Abietta and how developed he was at his age.
Yeah.
So that's a big pickup for LSU.
So they'll get Bo Bornelaw today, whose dad played at LSU, Ben. That's going to happen.
Right. The LSU legacy, I mean, expect that to happen.
Bo will be a great player. He's a guy that's just put his weight on late. But he's looked like a goddess for like 3 years and built.
Yeah, from when I saw you last year to when I announced this game to now, you can tell how much his body has changed from then to now.
But he was always athletic, and he was always 6'5", 6'4", and now he's 285. He was 270 as a junior. And I'm talking about Granite Rock 285. And he'll be 300 like his dad in college and be a guard and be a great player. Walker Howard, signed this morning. I mean, that was going to happen. I never
never blinked about
never
that.
Never blinked about that. And then Will Campbell signed today from Neville. Those are your guarantees. The tight end from Miami, St. Thomas Aquinas, Jason Taylor's son.
Yeah.
May or may not. You never know.
Right. You also got Emory Jones.
Emory Jones will sign today from Catholic High.
Yep.
And let me tell you something. Emory Jones and Will Campbell, Jace, will be automatic. I hate saying this, but I'm going to be blunt. They're two of the best O-linemen prospects I've seen come out of Louisiana in years.
Mm-hmm.
They're physically gifted. Mentally, too. I think Emory and Will start next year for LSU.
Yeah, I can definitely see both of them starting immediately next year, considering the offensive line problems you had this year.
Those two guys are just – even if LSU had 15 O-linemen on the team, Emory Jones is 6'4", 320, and runs like a 5-flat.
And Emory can play multiple positions.
Yeah, tackle, guard. Yep. He reminds me a lot of Ed Ingram, but a little bit a little stronger.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
And then – Will Campbell's like the more ready Will Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. He's one of those guys that come once in a lifetime, like Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah.
Yep.
More advanced than Andrew was. So Andrew was 280 coming in as a tight end.
Yeah, because he had the transition from tight end to tackle. Yeah. But Will's always played tackle.
The class after that kind of, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you got Fitzgerald West. I mean, you expect him to sign to.
And he's not an immediate starter, but could be a guard down the road, center.
A developmental guy that can plug in down the
second
road.
Second year guy might start, and he's a local kid.
LaTerrence Welsh is a guy
that
signs with LSU. That would be a big get considering they lose a lot of guys in the secondary like Stingley and Ricks.
Corey Raymond and him were close, but I met LaTerrence Welch at
good kid,
and I don't think he's going anywhere. You got all the scuttlebutt on the internet. I don't think he's going anywhere but LSU.
Right. Those are the in-state guys I feel really confident
and those
about.
Are big-time guys. Welch will play as a freshman for LSU. He's a corner nickel, meaning he's not just a corner. He's more of a big body corner that can play corner, nickel, safety, strong safety. Welch is getting bigger and bigger. He's like 6'1", 185.
Mm-hmm.
He might be in a safety, Jace.
Yeah.
Which they could use.
Right now. That's still a position of need.
So here's my thoughts. They're not going to just take guys to take guys to appease fans. They're not going to just sign 20 and say, hey, we're signing 20 because everybody's happy now. No, that's not how it's going to work out. If they get 15 players today, they're going to get 15 football players today. And Kelly, the way he's looking at recruiting, I love it. He wants you to like school and football. And people are going to go, what are you saying, Lee? They've hinted around in the paper about that. They've hinted around when they hired him. He wants guys that are dialed in like Saban recruits, that they want to be a team player, team first. And he's recruiting differently. And if you're not buying in as a team player, he doesn't want you.
Yeah, that's his philosophy, and you got to be careful with this sign day period now because there's guys leaving within 1 or 2 years for the portal. So is it going to be one of those situations you're going to keep a guy for 3 years or more, or is it going to be a situation where you keep a guy and they're gone within a year? Yeah. So that's another thing you got to watch out for.
I said on a radio show, Jace, 4 years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but Ronnie Rantz, I went on his show, and Ronnie said, what is else you need to recruit? And this was 2 years before – 3 years before Ed was fired, I said, they need to change the way they recruit. And Ronnie said, are you – no way. I was like, no, they need to change the way they recruit, like the way Dabo Swinney recruits, the way Nick Saban recruits, the way Ohio State recruits. Now, not everybody's going to dial in 5 years.
Right.
But you need high percentage of guys to build a team that want to win. They want to go to college. They want to do – they don't want to just say NFL all day long, which is okay. They all want to go to the NFL.
Yeah, you can get those guys. But at the same time, you also got to get those program guys that are really talented that are going to be starters
for
you
for 3 years.
Does
it bother them to lose? Does it bother them to lose?
Right.
So sign less guys where it doesn't bother them to lose. I want guys where it bothers you to lose a game. Yep. Meaning if you're at Acadiana High School, Welch, he hates to lose. Emory Jones hates to lose. Walker Howard does not like to lose. Will Campbell, you got to get guys that care about the game.
Yep.
And that's
what's that's a pretty good list of guys that are competitive and want to win.
Trevor Etienne from Jennings is waiting until February to sign. I think you might see the happen with Citizen too.
He's been very quiet. You don't hear that much coming out from the Etienne camp.
But I think it's smart because Citizen could take a visit under Kelly. in the next month. You know, I mean, it gives them a month to get these guys on campus and have four visit weekends. There's a dead period during Christmas, and then after that, they can start their visits again on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about recruiting, early signing day. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. We'll be right back. If you need a paint job or repairs to your vehicle, go see Medin's Collision Center located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana on Kincaid Avenue. The number to call is 357-7983. That's 357-7983. Your Baton Rouge Accident Advisors. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Our co-host today is Jace Lejeune, man. He's back again.
I just keep on coming back.
There you
back,
go, man. Here you go. This segment, we're going to talk about the transfer portal and how does that tie into early signing day and late signing day. Well, this is how it ties in. If you're a new coach like Kelly and you've been able to watch film and book it, he's been watching film of their games the last 2 weeks. Jace, he's probably spent 6 hours a day watching film of the current team, looking at what they have and, you know, what they lack. And he's interviewed everybody on the team. He kind of has an idea who's coming back, who's not coming back. So today he's going to, you know, plug in those guys like Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Walker Howard, and by miracle maybe get a Chaz Preston from St. James from Bama.
Right.
And Aaron Anderson from Edna Carr.
Yeah, those are the two. Those are two type of guys that
Alabama's.
Those
are going to sting. Right. If they lose those two, and you know most people will say, well, they're just another receiver. No, listen. Aaron Anderson and Chaz Preston will be All-Americans at Alabama in that offense. They're different. They're unique. They're two of the best players in the state, in my opinion. And hopefully LSU can get one of the two. And if I had my choice, Chaz Preston.
Yeah, Chaz, yeah.
He's another Chase. You don't want to lose a Jamar Chase type of guy.
No, and that's a good point you make, Lee, because when Nick Saban has been the coach at Alabama, he hasn't gotten the quantity of Louisiana guys, but he's got the right Louisiana guys. He's always got the right two or three to come from Louisiana to Alabama.
Let me share this. Because people in this society today forget about last week. They forget about a year ago. Well, let's go back when Ed Orgeron was first named head coach, like head coach, his first recruiting class. I remember this clearly because this stuff haunts you later on. I remember signing day, Jace, going to a signing day party, and everybody was like, oh, we did great. And I'm like, whoa, time out. Ed's first class lost five NFL players from Louisiana to Alabama. One was a Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm.
One was another All-American running back, in Etienne from Jennings, a first-round pick. Another one was Fedarian Mathis, who's going in the first round this year from Alabama. That's three first-round picks from Louisiana. And he lost Chris Allen, by the way, and Dylan Moses to round out, and Slade Bolden, who people said wouldn't pan out, but he's been a decent player for Alabama. So listen, that's six players. That's six of the top 10 that year.
Mm-hmm.
Three in the first round. One Heisman Trophy winner. Now, we don't want to see that happen again in this class with Aaron Anderson, the Captain Shreve kid that's unbelievable. Kendrick Law. And then Chaz Preston. You don't want those three going Alabama, and definitely there's a fourth that potentially could go in the Big D.N. Quincy Wiggins.
Right, and that's a name that LSU has to get.
So we don't want history to repeat itself because guess what? You got to beat Alabama to go to the playoffs. You don't want them beating you with your players.
And you're hoping that a guy that LSU is going to get is Taji Hill, who's also from Edna Carr. So you're hoping Taji is having conversations with Aaron to, you know, change his mind and come over here. So you're really hoping that is the case, too.
And there's talk Taji's going to Tulane, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But here's the thing. They can't lose Chaz and Aaron Anderson. That would be a huge blow to LSU.
Yeah, to salvage it, I think they need to get one of the two. You can probably live with losing one, but you have to get at least one. Because those are two game changers. I can, like, we're talking about Aaron Anderson. He can return punts and kicks for you immediately.
The kid's rocket, Ismail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be a phenomenal 5'9", 4'3", guy. And Chaz Preston, to me, is – Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Those are exceptional guys. You can't lose. And one's from St. James, Louisiana. One's from Edna Carr, South Louisiana. Kendrick Law, I think, is going to LSU for some reason. I think he's going to LSU. He just wanted LSU to show him the love. This staff's showing him more love than the other staff.
Yeah, he got a lot of attention this past week when Nick Saban visited him and Brian Kelly visited him.
And Kendrick can play corner, which they need, or receiver right away. The corner, they need him right now. I think he'd be another great corner running a 4.3 at 6 foot, 185, Jace.
Yeah.
Another punt returner, too. But here's what I want to mention to finish this segment. You hire Frank Wilson for $500,000 a year. He's from New Orleans. He recruits Edna Carr, St. Aug, all these schools really good. There's a lot of pressure on him to land Aaron Anderson today or Chaz Preston or both. He was signed as a coach to come in and help get those guys.
That's his forte is recruiting. And that's his biggest strength.
His reputation's kind of on the line now. Because if he goes 0-for-2 with Chaz Preston and Aaron Anderson, I mean – you got to close on one of these guys. I mean, you're in their house. You're sitting down with them this past week.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are from South Louisiana, and it's important that he helps close those guys. I mean, they brought him in to do that. And we'll see what happens today. Cross your fingers. And look, I'm a fan of LSU, even though I'm in the media. I'm a fan of Louisiana schools. But you never know. Aaron Anderson might say, I'm going to wait, which that means LSU will get him if he waits. I think they need to convince Chaz Preston to wait. Visit LSU officially. Give LSU a chance. Come hang out on campus in January for a weekend. And if you go in Alabama and just delay it and just make sure is what I would do. You know, visit for the weekend with your family. Don't just sign with Bama and not give Kelly a chance. And that's what Frank Wilson needs to do, is to get him to wait to sign today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about quarterbacks and how that's going to play a big part and how I think Kelly and them are going to maneuver getting a quarterback on campus, because you only have Nussmeier and you only have a true freshman in Walker Howard who might not be ready right away. You need a veteran quarterback. We'll be right back. Be sure to take your car and truck for all your tire needs to Treads and Care Tire Company located in Central. The number to call is 331-8144, family owned and operated since 1971. That's Treads and Care Tire Company. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekine. Jace Lejeune is our co-host today, our editor for Louisiana Football Magazine, LAFootballMagazine.com. Look, if you want to get a magazine still, go to LAFootballMagazine.com for North or South. If you're a first-time listener, a mom or dad, we have all 300 high schools previewed, all the colleges from this season. Great Christmas gift, LAFootballMagazine.com. Jace, here's my opinion on the quarterback thing. Everybody's got an opinion on it, but I think this is how they're going to maneuver. When you got Walker Howard coming in, the number one quarterback in the country, you got Nussmeier, one of the top five last year in the country, who I think is going to be a great quarterback, Jace. You don't have an experienced quarterback coming back. Your experienced quarterback's in the portal. Max Johnson's in the portal. You're going to be taking a quarterback next year, regardless of who it is, with hardly no snaps. That's a scary thing to look at. But you got a great quarterback coach coming in Kelly. He's done a great job of quarterbacks at Notre Dame. Here's how I think they're going to get that quarterback to campus. They're going to get a junior or a one-year guy to come, because that's not going to threaten Walker or Nussmeier. They don't want to sit behind somebody 3 years, Jace.
Yeah, and Walker and Jamie even said it's – I mean, we don't mind it if a veteran quarterback comes in and plays for a year or two. I mean, pretty much a year.
I think the perfect transfer portal quarterback is Slovis from USC.
I was thinking the exact same thing. There are a lot of available quarterbacks out there that are in the transfer portal, which is a good thing for LSU, and Slovis is definitely one of them. I can see come over here, start for a year, and then be a good transition.
And then nobody's – and then Nussmeier could maybe co-start, you know, and play a lot, and then Walker might redshirt, and then the next year to be Nuss and Walker. Because Kelly likes to play two quarterbacks because he doesn't just – he ain't like Orgeron where it's just one guy and then he's waiting to bench him. He plays quarterbacks till somebody separates.
It gives you options, too, because it's good that – I mean, you can still start Garrett Nussmeier if he wins out the bow, but if something happens with Garrett, if Garrett's struggling or whatever the case is, at least you can have a reliable option to lean on in Slovis, an older guy that has played a lot of football, that has been successful at USC, you know, that can come in and play.
7,000 yards in 3 years. And what I like about Slovis, Jace, is he was hurt a whole year, which kind of affected him. And then the USC debacles affected all those players. You know, it's just bad right now. Now, it'll change with the new coach from Oklahoma, but I think Slovis is a phenomenal talent. He's 6'3", 220, cannon arm, and he reminds me a lot of Burrow and built in the way he moves. And USC had no O-line for him this year, and he got hurt again. But he's not injury-prone. Remember they said Burrow was injury-prone at Ohio State? Mm. They said, oh, he'll never stay healthy. Well, he never got really hurt at LSU, remember? He took a couple of hits, Fiesta Bowl. People didn't think he'd get up and then getting mad, right?
Yeah. That changed pretty much everything ever since then.
That linebacker, like, swung at him, and he got up, threw the ball at him, and then he threw, like, four touchdowns after that. But – I think Slovis would be the great fit for the key guy.
He's my number one option. But the good news is if you strike out with Slovis, there are plenty of other options
out there. There's tons of other ones.
Yep. And even if you can somehow – I mean, last option, if you can somehow convince Miles Brennan to come back and, you know, do it for one more year, I mean, I'm sure he can if he's
– Miles should. He might be the starter.
Right. He could start next year if
he might have jumped the gun. He might have jumped the gun going in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give himself a chance with Kelly.
Right.
To kind of hang it. But, you know, he didn't transfer either, so.
He's still in the portal, so he can come back. It's not like he's going anywhere. Yeah.
And I don't know if he can health-wise play still this year.
That's the biggest concern.
Because they're talking about the bowl game if he came back.
Yeah, that would be very helpful because I know Brad Davis are trying to see if they can get somehow the NCAA to say that Garrett Nussmeier can play and still not lose his red shirt. But we'll see about that.
John Trey Kirkland, old Lutcher quarterback.
Old Lutcher quarterback in there
little
getting
option,
snaps.
Little option.
Why not? I mean, what a good way to end his – because he's stuck it out for 4 years. It would be a good reward for him.
Or you can throw every receiver in as quarterback Wildcat.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much at this point.
You know, I mean, you could put Jack Besh as quarterback walk out.
I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can do pretty good.
League neighbors, you can go on and on.
Yep.
Heck, Rick should have stayed out of the portal. Maybe he could be Wildcat quarterback. You know, you never know. But
yeah,
hey, Stingley could have got his dream.
Yeah, that's why I was joking with my dad about that one. But, yeah, he could have come back if he wanted to play receiver. Right. I mean, this is probably his opportunity to do that if he played.
You want to put that on the resume for the pro scouts?
Yeah, he always wanted to play receiver and a little bit of receiver in college.
How long has it been since he had surgery? Like 3 months?
Yeah, it's been probably since the Auburn game earlier this year, or maybe a little before.
I have no clue where he's at on it, but I don't know if he can play or can't.
I haven't heard anything from the Stingley camp.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And look, that's who I'd want to take direct snaps, is Stingley,
mm-hmm.
if he could play.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it at Dunham.
Right.
And did really great. I mean, he was phenomenal doing that.
Yeah, I'm sure Dunham had to put him direct snapping the ball since he was the top player in the country at the time, or one of.
But, you know, again, we're going to take a break. I just want people to know this is not the end of all days. It's not the end of the world. It's early signing day. It's a lot of your national recruits given a choice, sign early or sign late. If I was a big-time recruit and I only took a visit, I'm going to wait and take all 5 visits. You know, if I play basketball, you can't take a lot of visits. You know, if I'm involved with my team and I'm deep in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's not get rid of what's really good for these kids. These visits with your family on these campuses, the experiences for life. Let's not go too business on it. And we'll talk about the portal a little more. And then we got LSU basketball at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and take a break, Jace. We'll be right back with more of the Sports Scouting Report.
Come and visit the majestic mansion in the marsh, Gros Savan, Waterfowl, and Wildlife Lodge. Gros Savant is the true sportsman's paradise. Gros Savant Lodge has everything for you, from fresh and saltwater fishing, alligator hunting, waterfowl hunting, and eco tours. Located south of Lake Charles, call 337-598-2357 or visit www.grossavant.com for more information and schedule your trip to the majestic mansion in the marsh, Gros Savant Waterfowl and Wildlife Lodge, the true sportsman's paradise today.
That was the note I was actually about to say. If there was one more note I want to talk about signing day and the transfer portal and all of that, is we need to move the early signing period because it's affecting a lot of things. For starters, just head coaching opportunities. It's really pressuring the administration, the athletic directors, to get a hire in place before that early signing day period. And I just think it's just too much pressure, and that's why you have coaches leaving early. And what message does that send to players saying, okay, if the coaches are leaving early and bailing on the players, then I can go to the transfer portal and leave within a year or two. So
you know
I think
wrong?
It's really affecting everything.
It's dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fair to the kid or the coach.
There's
you don't want to rush
for the
hire.
Team. Everything it's a me thing in college football.
And our fans want – there are certain fans out there that want Kelly to rush hires. Why do you want to rush a hire and then blame him for rushing a hire?
Right.
So he's not going to just hire someone just to hire someone. And you know what? Like Jay said, it's unfair the way things are set up because you just don't have enough time to hire these coaches to appease the kids and the fans. And
sometimes the kids are pressured. That's why they sign early,
right,
and they're not happy where they're at, and they end up transferring a year or two into the process.
Right. So – if my little show is, let's just get the word out. If somebody hears this, hopefully some highly recruit will hear it, Jace. And if you feel pressured, don't sign early.
You can wait. You got another sign.
You don't have to sign today. And, you know, wait it out and give the coach a chance. Not just Kelly, but give Coach DeSormo a chance at UL. Give Coach Sonny Cumbie a chance at Louisiana Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give all these coaches a chance to say, hang out with me on campus for 3 days. Let's go eat. Let's go hang out with some of the current players. Let me show you. And by then, I'll have my coordinator. I'll have my offense coordinator. I'll have my defensive coordinator. I'll have your position coach. It's so crazy right now. It's so dysfunctional about – and it's the NCAA has got to step up and say, and here's what I want. Let's not just get rid of the early signing day. Let's move back the late signing day. Let's move that back, too, to like February maybe 10th, not the 3rd. Let's go another week.
Right. You can probably still have an early signing period, but push the early signing period later on and then push back the later signing day.
January 15th.
Right. You give a January option, you get a February option.
Yeah. December's not good.
Yeah. December's way too early, in my opinion.
And there's a dead period during Christmas. So you can't even talk to people during Christmas. Nothing makes sense right now.
Yeah.
And then you got Kelly trying to make this work today, and he's got to do a press conference today and say, hey, it was wonderful, right? So there's a lot of pressure on him to say, as a new coach, I was able to
salvage the recruiting class, which if they can – I mean, they're going to get the guys that they – that have been committed for such a long period of time, but they can swing two or three guys. I think it'll be a successful signing period.
So here's my take on the whole recruiting. We got two signing classes. Today doesn't mean a lot to me because I think LSU's going to get the guys that want to come here.
I really think the later signing class
is the big one.
Yeah, it's going to be the big one.
All right. And the biggest thing for LSU, people put too much emphasis on the signing classes. The NCAA is doing a one-time 7 scholarships graduate transfer where you can add to your signees this one time. That's 7 over your 25, so you can get 31. I really believe Coach Kelly is going to get 7 phenomenal graduate transfer players.
I heard one already might be the FIU offensive
lineman.
Yep.
But what I'm saying is LSU needs – not a lot of linemen because they got Will Campbell and Emory Jones coming in. And
some guys that played this year.
They're
not
that bad.
Right.
They need D tackles and tight ends and safeties and linebackers. And look for those 7 graduate transfers to be maybe a corner, a linebacker, a D tackle, a D end, and maybe one offensive tackle that's older maybe.
And then your quarterback.
And then your quarterback. And guess what? You don't have to take that out of your signing class. Mm-hmm. You can just sign high school guys in your signing class now instead of holding those for graduate transfers.
Right. You can save your graduate transfers for the positions of need and then just grab your best high school players.
So people that are listening, don't freak out if you're LSU fans. This is an early signing day that you have to have. It's not what the coaches want. They're going to salvage. But the one thing before we end this segment, I really do hope that LSU can convince Chaz Preston and Aaron Anderson to delay their signing to give LSU a chance and get them on campus for a weekend. I would think that would be a tragedy for both sides where you never took your official visit, don't you think, Jace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because of the circumstances, hopefully Frank Wilson can convince them, don't sign a day. If Saban really wants you, he'll hold a scholarship for you. Alabama might be the only team that finishes recruiting today.
And that makes a difference. Look at what Nick Saban has done, what, 7 national championships. A lot of it has to do with the work he puts in recruiting, and then for this moment. It's not just like, okay, I'm going to call you and you on the week of, and there we go, I'm going to get you. This is a long process that he does. Like, after, like, what makes him special, Lee, is that after national championships are over, he's not celebrating them. He's focused already on the next year's signing class.
What makes him special in recruiting is that he'll recruit a guy that never commits to him, and he'll wait for your season to fall apart, and then he'll get your guy.
Yeah.
He's smart. Yeah. Like, he's like, well, he didn't get him, he didn't get him, he didn't get him. And then you have a bad year, and then he calls him and says, hey, you still want to come?
Mm-hmm.
And they got a national championship ring every year.
Right. Hard to turn that
down.
That
doesn't hurt. But, again, my thoughts is, if I'm Chaz Preston and I'm Aaron Anderson, if I'm from Arkansas, not even an LSU fan, take your official visit to your state school. You don't have to sign early. You still have the big dog. You can go anywhere you want in the end. But that's something that when you're 30 years old, you look back and go, you know, I never took my official visit to LSU. I didn't give the new coach a chance. I didn't go hang out on campus. I got caught up into maybe the Alabama great season again.
Think about it this way, too. It's a chance for the recruit to get pampered a little bit more.
Right.
You know, take your visits and get all the attention and just have a chance to really, you know, sink all that
but
in.
But Frank Wilson was hired to pull this off. And I'm just being blunt. He was hired to salvage the in-state guys. And that's why they brought him in. And we'll see what he does. If he can split them and maybe get one of the two and maybe get one to not sign today, I think Aaron Anderson's the one that might delay it if any of the two. And hopefully Chaz will do the same.
That'll be a good sign for LSU fans if that happens.
We'll be back in just a moment with more of the Sports Scouting Report. We're going to end the show with LSU basketball. I don't know if Jace has been watching, but I've been watching.
I watched a little bit of last night.
And we'll talk about how good they can be. Man, they're 10-0 for the first time since 2000.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And they're 3 wins away from tying John Brady's best start when he was coach. And if they go 14-0, it's the best start maybe in the history of the school.
Wow.
We'll be right back with more of the Sports Scouting Report with myself, Lieber Keen, and Jace Lejeune. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's 3 great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. This segment, we're not going to be very long, but we're going to finish it with LSU basketball. I have watched every game this year, Jace, with LSU basketball. I have followed LSU basketball since 1977, and there's only 3 teams that I thought were really, really had great chemistry. I'm not talking about the most talent.
Uh-huh.
But Dale Brown had a team in 85 with Blanton and John Williams, and that was a great chemistry team that made it. And beat some great teams to get there. Kentucky's Kenny Walker and beat a bunch of good teams. And then Dale Brown had the 81 team with Rudy Macklin.
That made the Final Four.
Ethan Martin and Leonard Mitchell, Greg Cookie Man Cook, and you know John Tudor and all those great guys, Howard Hussey Carter. And then there was the John Brady team.
The 06 team.
You know, Baby Davis and Temple and Tyrus Thomas. This is the 4th team. In my 40 years, this is the 4th best chemistry team I've seen at LSU. I'm excited for Will Wade. He's survived a lot.
Yes.
He's the survivor. And then you look at the team, Jace.
Uh-huh.
I think he's shocked, too, on how good some of his guys have ended up becoming. Like, Alex Fudge is a 6'8 guy off the bench that has a 40-inch vertical.
Uh-huh.
He's a dunking machine. He's a shot-blocking guy. He's shocked me, and he's off the – Tari Eason is phenomenal.
He is. He's good.
He's so good, they might lose him after this year. Not many guys can steal the ball half court at 6'8", 230, and dribble it down and dunk.
You finally seen the length that Will Wade was searching for.
And you don't need – you need 1 7-foot guy, and they got that guy for Virginia, who's a freshman.
Yeah,
and
Reed.
Reed is – he ain't even hit his upside yet. He's got a smooth shot. His back to the basket. They finally got a down low guy. He's a decent shot blocker. He runs the court. He passes the ball. He reminds me of like a Tim Duncan.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Very smart, cerebral guy. He's gonna be really good. He'll be back next year. Probably be a lottery pick in another year.
Right.
And then you got
the veteran guy you can lean on.
You got these guys that just steal balls like Gaines.
Right.
And Brandon is done.
Brandon Murray.
He's phenomenal. Yep. He's better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, he's really developed. And
Darius Days might
be. He's the leader of the team. He's the guy you can lean on.
But Darius is probably the most unathletic guy on the team.
Yeah.
All right, he's the guy with no vertical. He's the guy that's like a streak shooter. Like he might hit 8 for 8 and he might go over 8.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
But this team. And Pinson from Missouri is a smooth operator, man.
Oh, he is.
He distributes that ball. He's a true point guard, and they haven't had a lot of true point guards. And when Gaines comes in, he brings energy. They're averaging like 10 steals a game. That's unheard of.
Yep.
They're scoring 20 points a game on steals.
Steals, block. They are just so aggressive on defense, and that's why they've been so good on the defensive end. And if they get the offense in sync,
it's going to be a team. It's coming.
Yeah.
You know, usually you don't have the defense in the length, right? That's something they don't usually have, and they're gonna end up getting the shooter. The shooters are coming. They're going to start – Brandon Murray's becoming that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see Pinson become that guy a little bit more. And they don't have to shoot a lot of threes to win. They just don't. But you know what? I really believe this is a 24-25 win team in a tough conference against, you know, Alabama and Auburn's in the top 7 or 8.
Arkansas.
Kentucky. You know, all these teams.
Tennessee.
Florida, that's good.
Auburn.
I mean, but they're going to be a problem for a lot of people. And they remind me. Before you were born, Jace, they remind me of the old UNLV running Rebels.
Oh, yeah, when they were really rolling.
Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony.
Yep.
Stacey Augman. Yeah. They had length. They didn't have a bunch of 7-footers, but they would run the court, and they would live off of turnovers and dunks. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They remind me of the old Jerry Tarkanian UNLV running Rebels.
Yep.
They really do, because UNLV was not a great 3-point shooting team, outside of Greg Anthony maybe.
Sure.
But Augman would steal like 5-6 passes a game, dunks. Larry Johnson was like, you know, running the court, dunking, and was crazy. He was 6'7", 230. And then Augman was like 6'8". He was a pencil. He was like 190, but he was phenomenal running the court.
Well, they use their defense to thrive on offense. When you got those athletic big guys in space, and the quick guys with Pinson and Murray and Gaines and those guys, along with the big guys, that's what sparks their offense, is their defense.
And guess what? They got a young center that got a little playing time the other night. He's gotten a little bit. He's 6'10", named Gerald Colbert. He's going to be a great center. And as time goes on, he'll be coming. And guess what? Shaquille O'Neal's son's about to play.
Yeah.
He's been sitting out all year. He's 6'10". So they got a rotation of about 10 guys.
Yep. Which has always been what, you know, Will Wade, huge, would transfer 7-8, you know. He would put guys in there. But, yeah, it seemed like he has a little bit more depth, too.
I'm excited because everybody said, oh, they're only going to win because Darius Days. No.
This is
a team.
Yeah, they got a really good team.
And they have chemistry. And
they're young. Like, this is the first time all these guys have really played with each other.
Guess who they lose? They just lose Pinson and Days.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. After this year.
They might have a guy or two go pro.
Uh-huh.
And Tari Eason, if he continues.
Yeah, Eason. If Eason and Reed really keep improving, I mean – who knows, but at least this year, and then, most likely next year, man, they are set.
Guess what? They got two All-American 6'8 forwards coming in next year.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Ray from Mississippi, he's like another fudge.
Yeah.
He's a jumping jack out the gym, and they've got a 6'8 guy coming out of Virginia who's all world. He's like the 20th best player in the country. So, I mean, it just gets deeper and deeper.
Finally the fruits of Will Wade's labor coming in and seeing what this could be down the road. And now he survived all of that. Oh, boy. His teams are going to be really good.
I think they're making the Sweet 16. I'm going to say it now.
Yeah, they made the Sweet 16 without him, right? Remember, with all that happened. Right. And this team is going to be better than that team.
And
won the SEC.
For them to be a Final Eight, Final Four, they just need Pinson to start hitting some threes and Murray, and they'll be okay. But they don't need to be Baylor last year. Baylor had 7 guys shoot threes, but that was Baylor's offense.
Yeah. I think the only thing is that the SEC has gotten tougher. I mean, I think that's the only compared to when they won the SEC.
You know what separates you, though? Defense and steals, man.
Mm-hmm. They play old school basketball.
Because you know what threes, you either hitting them or you're not.
You ever live? Yep.
Live and die.
Live and die by the three. Yep.
So if Bama's not hitting their threes, they're going to lose to LSU. If Kentucky's not hitting their threes, Arkansas, same thing. They don't have the defense LSU has. I even watched Kentucky this year. Auburn, to me, has the best team in the SEC outside of LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And their best player's dad played for LSU.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was on the Final Four team, Jabari Smith, with Coach Brady and Tyrus Thomas and those guys. Jabari Smith was 6'11".
Okay.
This is his son, who's 6'10", and he's the number one pick for the draft coming up.
That's right.
Just imagine if they had signed him.
Oh, boy. It would be nothing stopping.
But he grew up in
Georgia. Basketball team.
His daddy was from Georgia, and he grew up in Georgia, so he went to Auburn. Auburn's kind of like a Georgia school.
And I believe Auburn's going to be the first SEC team LSU plays after this non-conference.
That's a tough first game.
Yeah, after this non-conference schedule ends.
They'll be ranked in the top 10. Auburn will be, or even better. If they beat Auburn, and let's just say they go ahead and beat Tech, which is Saturday in Bossier City.
Yeah, you got Louisiana Tech Saturday, then you got Lipscomb on Tuesday, and then SEC play starts.
If they beat Auburn, Jace, they might be a top 10 team. They might move them in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough right out the gate. They got Auburn, then Kentucky, then Tennessee. The gauntlet really starts.
Right. I think they'll beat Kentucky and Tennessee. Auburn.
You go 2-1 in that stretch. You're feeling pretty good.
Auburn, I'm kind of worried about because it's at Auburn,
mm-hmm.
and that's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Jabari Smith. God, I wish LSU.
Oh, he's good. Yeah, he's good.
Shooting threes, running the court like Tari Eason. He's basically a bigger version of him. Who's 6'8", and that was a great transfer for LSU out of Cincinnati, out of all places.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely paid off.
And you know where he's from? California.
California.
Isn't that something? Play at Cincinnati, from California.
Now at LSU.
At LSU. He's from Los Angeles.
He's went all over the country.
Kid's not, he's not immature at all. He don't mind living away from L.A. where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and end the show. Hope everybody liked it. And Will Friday's show, we'll talk about what happened today.
Yeah, we'll have a video.
Smoke cleared.
Right.
We'll talk about the and then next week, next Friday, maybe next Wednesday because we'll do it before Christmas. But
right.
Next week we'll do our top guys in the state.
Our Bayou 25.
And we might even wait till after Christmas, Jace.
Yeah.
Next week's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're going to have interviews with recruits.
Yep.
Trying to get Landry Liddy on from Calvary Baptist, trying to get Lavallee on from
Peabody. Yep.
And some other kids. So, but I hope you enjoyed it. Again, don't panic if you're a fan today. It's early signing day.
Yeah, another signing day left. You got the transfer portal coming in.
And you got the 7 graduate transfers LSU's going to be able to bring in and help immediately. I have a lot of faith in Coach Kelly. I do think he'll have his D coordinator or coordinator before the second signing period, which is good.
Yeah, he will. He has something in place, you can tell. And that's why you pay all the big bucks for Kelly.
Right.
You're just going to have to trust him and let it work out.
Let it ride.
Let it ride.
All right. We'll see you next.
We'll see you on Friday.
See you on Friday. That's right. See you Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.